good to be here this morning. Go ahead and turn to your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 6, verse number 1 through 5. I titled this message this morning, Tear Down the Walls. Tear Down the Walls. And I hope that you'll understand where I'm coming from. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I am opening my heart to you in this matter. I hope that you'll receive it with a good heart. I hope that you'll understand that I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching for you this morning. And that is my goal every time I step into this pulpit, is to preach for you, not to you. And I know I fail in those areas at times, but I really want to show you my heart this morning in this matter. So we will begin reading where I say the book of Joshua. I got to turn there myself. My Bible was in this morning's message. So the book of Joshua, chapter number 6, and we will begin reading in verse number 1. My intent is not to read the whole chapter, but maybe just the first 5 or 6 verses here. It says, Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend upon every man straight before him. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful again that we're able to gather under the authority of your word this morning. We ask that you would again begin to speak to our hearts. I pray every single one of us in here, as you have challenged me this week, you have opened me up today like a surgeon opens up the body in front of him and begins to do the surgery that needs to take place. God, I pray that you would do that as well this morning in the lives of your people. Lord, sometimes we need to see who we really are. And I thank you, Lord, for exposing that to me personally this week. God, I pray that these words here today would be glorifying to you. I pray that they would be taken well by your people. God, I love you this morning because you first loved me. I pray that you would just bless in the remainder of this service. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. 2 years ago, I had the privilege to go to Israel and to be able to see the city of Jericho. It's nothing like that we picture in our mind. To be honest with you, it is surrounded by a mountain and into the flat of the desert. And just to the east side of that is the Jordan River, where Jesus was baptized along with many other people. By the way, where the Jordan River is at this particular spot is very dirty, very filthy, and contaminated. You heard Brother King talk about the Jordan River last week. And I was getting excited just hearing about what he was saying because I've been there. I know what he's talking about, and I've seen it within my mind. And so as I begin to go through here and begin to read this, my mind went back again to when I was there and begin to just have all those feelings once again come up. Just east of that city also is owned by the Palestinians. And a lot of that land has a lot of mines that are in there. And you step off track, guess what's going to happen? You step on a mine, you're going to get blown up, and it's not going to be a pretty sight. So I was able to take my mind back to this week. But the title of today's message is Tear Down the Walls. In August 13th of 1961, a lot of you folks don't know this about me, but I love history. I love studying about it. I love getting deeper into it because there's a lot of things for us to learn. And it's really the only thing that I excelled at when it came to school was history itself. So in August 1961, the 13th, which is coming upon an anniversary here, the communist government of the German Democratic Republic began construction on the wall to divide East and West Germany. I began to ask a question: how long was this wall? It was only 27 miles long, but there's approximately 97 miles of it uncompleted. It would zig in and out. On top of this wall, it was put together by concrete, and on top of the concrete was barbed wire all around it, trying to make it impossible for people to pass. And if they did attempt to try to climb the wall, they would be greeted with the razor-like barbed wire that's up there. It would begin to tear into their flesh and begin to mutilate their bodies. And so that would deter them from doing those things. Its purpose was to keep the so-called Western fascists from entering East Germany and undermining the socialist country, the socialist state at that time, which is what we are all afraid of in our world today. The wall stood for many years until November 9th of 1989, when many people would begin to chip away at the wall itself. During this time, many friends, family members were separated during this difficult time, no longer able to have communication with one another face to face. They would be separated by this big wall. Still to this day, I remember inside when I was at home, I remember this very vividly, watching the news conference. When I was a young person, the president at that time was Ronald Reagan. And I gravitated towards the television whenever Ronald Reagan spoke. He had a soothedness, he had a softness to his voice that you would just want to listen to. He brought calm to the situation when there was trouble in those things. And I remember many times when I would hear rumors of wars taking place, he would come to the podium and begin to speak, and I would begin to be comforted just by the sound of his voice. So with that being said, to this day, I still hear President Ronald Reagan, during the year of 1987, speaking to Mikhail Gorbachev to do this very thing, to tear down those walls. That is what echoed from his voice. And that is still ringing throughout in our country today, tear down those walls. But even before that, there would be non-visible walls that would divide or would separate people. Some would take years to build. Some would take just a few days. Some would just take a few hours. With that being said, listen to this, understand this. God can destroy any wall that an individual makes. He can destroy that wall. These types of walls are built out of these things that I'm about to list to you. And if you want to write them down, that is fine with me. Walls that are built are due to jealousy. Walls that are built are due to anger. Walls are built due to bitterness. Walls are built because of being offended and hurt, and maybe at times face public embarrassment. These are why walls are built between people. These are walls that can ruin a church. Hear me on this. They will ruin a church. They will ruin a marriage. They will ruin a relationship between brother and sister. They will ruin a relationship between friends because of walls that we allow ourselves to build privately in our own lives. And at times we don't realize we are building those walls. This, however, can be avoided by doing this, by keeping our eyes upon the Lord. Man lets us down. Man fails us. But God never fails us. God never lets us down, which is why we should always keep our eyes on the Lord. But here's what normally happens. We allow Satan to creep in, and the rest is history. Before we get into some of those things, we need to look at Scripture and see what happens to the walls of Jericho. You read what took place from verse number 1 through verse number 5, but the story goes on from there. There was given instructions by the Lord to Joshua in order for this great task to take place. They had to march around the city. The city of Jericho is not that big. Matter of fact, today the occupancy is about 2,500. It's not that big. When we're driving by there on the road, and I was going to say the road to Damascus, but that's just normal to say when you're talking about Scripture. The road to Damascus will take you anywhere. But anyway, as we're driving down the road, our tour hosts begin to say, hey, if you look right out the right side of your window, you will see the town of Jericho. And I looked at that, and I was like, wow. I was expecting something spectacular. But all I saw was really a rundown city. So we see what takes place here. The Jericho walls were walls of massive stone. Matter of fact, if you were to go to Israel with me and you were to go into the rabbi's tunnel, which is very interesting in and of itself, rabbis are not very tall. As I'm walking through the tunnel, my head was rubbing on the walls. And Logan was there with me, and another guy was there with me, and we really had to duck the whole entire time. And we noticed these massive stones that were there. They said some of these stones weighed more than a Boeing 747. That's how massive they are in weight and in size. And to get them to the place where they're at was a great system that they used. Was a pulley system by the ox that they had available to them. And so they were a city with massive stone walls. Their walls were at least 13 feet high and backed by a watchtower that was taller than that to be about 28 feet in height. It had its purpose, though. Its purpose was intended to protect the settlements and its water supply from human intruders. It was designed to keep people out, and it was designed to keep people in. Verse 1 goes and tells us none went in and none went and none came in. Now Joshua is instructed by the Lord to conquer Jericho, and the means to do so that he wants it to be done seems pretty insane to the common man. God doesn't do things the way that we think he should do them. He does it his ways. His ways are a lot better. Anyway, we might say, well, I don't understand God's thoughts. Well, Scripture says his thoughts are above our thoughts. We're not going to understand why God does what he does. So I must reiterate why the wall was there to begin with, specifically to keep the unwanted out. Why do we build invisible walls to people? It's to keep them out of our lives. So, long story short, Joshua did as the Lord commanded. The people marched, they shouted, and the walls came falling to the ground. They used a trumpet, and they used a ram's horn. Has anybody ever seen a ram's horn? I actually happen to have a ram's horn. I would love to bring it someday to show you what it is. It takes great skill to blow through a ram's horn to get the sound to come forth. I tried it this morning once again. All I got was air and spit. I couldn't get a beautiful sound to come out. Now, my wife and daughter, they're able to do so. I'm not able to do that. I got this ram's horn from my father-in-law when he passed away. It is something that I will always treasure and cherish from him. I knew what the Jewish people meant to him and why he had that, and so I kept that just for that particular reason. So without a doubt, this took place. But I can't imagine how long it took to build this wall. It wasn't built overnight, but now I want to shift my focus upon the walls that we build in our lives to keep people out. So without a doubt, every person at some point in life has done this type of construction. They've done it for many reasons. I gave you some just a little bit ago, why these walls are built. And there isn't a person in here this morning that is free from this. We would be foolish to sit there and say, I've never done this in my life. We've all have done it. We need to come to that understanding. Although I don't have to agree with why people build walls, that's not my job to do so, but it is my job to help them understand why they need to tear them down. You have no idea what I battle outside of here. You have no idea what takes place when I step away from this pulpit. And so often I will go home and I will become discouraged. And I will become, let's say the word, depressed at times. And I will begin to do something that I should never do in my life. And that is this. I begin to build walls. I begin to put a brick here and a brick there. I still see the individuals. I still say hi on occasions. As time goes on, I add another layer. Brick here, brick there. Still see them right there. So forth, the day goes, another day, more bricks. You get the picture. Before you know it, that wall's there. I don't want to have nothing to do with them. But I thank God that I have people in my life to get me back on track and to say these words, not these particular words, but hey, stop building walls. You need to tear those walls down. My job is to help you to tear down the walls that you have allowed yourself to build. I hope I can show you why we are not always right in this manner of building. I'm going to go into some things that took place recently within our own lives. Without a doubt, last year was a very difficult year for some. It was an unusual year with things that took place in our country and in our lives. It affected everything that we did, down to work, down to church worship, and honestly, even down to how we even begin to shop for daily groceries. We couldn't even go into the stores and buy toilet paper. People would begin to hoard those things. It changed everything and how we did everything. Even during that time, we got our COVID, had to stay away from everybody for 2 weeks. Some people probably rejoice, hey, we don't have to see Chad for 2 weeks. Now's not the time to say amen. But I will tell you this, it was a lonely time. Why is that? Because we need fellowship. We need fellowship with one another. So it was very difficult. Why was it difficult? Because for some, tensions were very high among people. And I'm not talking just worldly people. I'm talking God's people. God's people, tensions were high. Everyone, including myself, was quick to give their opinion. I've learned one thing. My opinion doesn't matter. What matters is the Word of God. That's all that matters in my life. I learned that my opinion can turn people away, and I've learned that my opinion can allow walls to be built against me. We're quick to give our opinion, and through this, feelings were hurt. I have come to find out not every believer believes the same thing. We at times will disagree with one another, and here are some things that we will disagree about. We will disagree about political things. That's fine. You have your right to believe what you believe. I have my right to believe what I believe. And I'm okay with that. That doesn't bother me in one way, shape, or form. It used to bother me years ago. Why don't they believe the same way I do? Well, I've learned that everybody's different. We're not all the same. Some of us in here have dark hair, some have no hair, some have gray hair. We're all different. So feelings were hurt. We at times will disagree with political things, and then we will disagree with medical things. We will disagree about financial things, and we will disagree about spiritual things as well at times. Through this, I notice there are eventually walls being built, and relationships were being tampered with, and relationships were being damaged as well. Walls were being built because, unfortunately, take this with an open heart, please. We, as God's people, were not seeking His help. Our focus was upon our thoughts and our opinions and how we can solve things and how we can solve the world's problems. If we want to solve the world's problems, all we have to do is open up the Word of God, plain and simple. So I begin to look back. And I began to examine my own path that I took last year. I will say this. This is not easy for me to say. This has been very difficult for me to go through this week and begin to go through my own personal battles that I have kept private up until now. So I began to look at my own path. And with shame to me, I caused walls to be built. Walls would be built against me, and I would build walls against others. I will say this before I go on any further. I hope, whoever it may be, that you will find it within your heart to forgive me. For I am deeply sorry. Because I do not want my opinion to steer you away from God. I do not want my opinion to steer you away from the fellowship with God's people. My job as a preacher is not to hinder your walk. I personally believe, through the examination that God has allowed me to do, I've hindered the walk of God's people. I will be accountable to God on that day. It's not my job to hinder your walk, nor is it my job for you to build walls. My responsibility, no matter where and who I preach to, the goal should be to get to God's people to love Him more and more every day. My job is to get people to further advance their walk with Him. That is my job. And if I don't do that, then I have failed as a preacher. So often we lose what our focus should be in life. And we let our personal opinions to come in. I have come to understand that this pulpit is not a bully pulpit. This pulpit is to edify you, to educate you in the Word of God. But we as preachers, we lose our focus as well. And we let our personal opinions come in rather than looking to the Scriptures for advice and for counsel. You think it's right at the time, but as you go further along, you realize what you have done. I will say this to you publicly this morning. I don't want to continue going down the path of building walls against each other. We are God's children. We should not be divided. We should be united with one another. You can go further with this illustration because this not only happens at church, but it happens at work with co-workers. It happens in the school, and it happens in the home. And here's what we need to do. We need to tell Satan to get away from us and to never bother us again. Can we say amen to be in agreement with that? Satan has no right, nor does he have any authority in our life. We come to these situations in life because we allow Satan just a little bit of room. And it's amazing what he can do with that little bit of room. Take, for instance, a mouse can get through a hole the size of a pin. And what does that mouse do once he gets through the hole the size of a pin as he gets in your house? He begins to do damage. What else does he bring with him? He brings his friends, his family members. Satan doesn't come alone. He comes with his demons, his angels with him. And he does this for a reason, because he does not want you and I to be successful in our walk with God. He wants us to build walls with one another. I said this earlier. We build walls. God has a way of taking them down. God has a way of taking us down. I say this for a good reason. Please understand and please take this with a good heart. Because of walls, church attendance is down. My personal belief and conviction, whenever the doors are open, we should all be in attendance. What happened to Thomas when his friend Jesus rose from the grave? He wasn't there with the other disciples upon his return. By you not being here, you miss out on what God has for you. And on top of that, you miss out on the fellowship. And I know this. Pastor spends countless hours behind his desk preparing a message specifically for you and I. And when we are not in attendance, it breaks his heart. There isn't a good enough excuse to not be in church. Death might be good, but that would be the only one. Let me ask you a question. If Pastor missed church for family functions, or a drippy nose, or here's a new one, for the gym, and here's another new one, maybe golf, would that be acceptable in your eyes? Would you be disappointed if he's not at the pulpit? You come in here and you want to be fed spiritually and pastor's not here. And use those excuses. Pastor loves to see your face every time these doors are open. When we miss out on church, we miss out on fellowshipping with one another. And I know it seems that I might be nitpicking here, but these are real things that happen. Why am I using these examples? When these things are mentioned on occasions, we get mad and we build walls. We build walls. And we are wrong for doing so. You heard it straight from Pastor King's mouth last week. It is the job of the pastor to warn people of the wrongdoing in their lives. And some get offended, and they get mad, and they build walls, and they slowly walk away. So with all this being said, walls that are built, God can bring them down. Walls are built because we allow Satan just a little bit of room. And whatever room he gets, he takes advantage of it, and he begins to destroy lives. This past week has this rang so true in my life. I heard God say to me, Chad Springer, it is time you tear down the walls that you built. So today I'm here to chip away just like the Germans did, at the wall that kept them from seeing people that they loved and wanted to commune with. I'm here today with the help of God to tear down those walls. It's true, you and I, we won't agree on everything. But the one thing that we should have in common is the Lord Himself. That's what should keep all the walls down at all times. So if God extended an olive branch to Rahab, you remember Rahab? She's in the story. She was the harlot there. God rescued her and her family. You find her later on in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse number 13, that she's in the hall of faith with Joshua, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Noah. She was included. God didn't leave her out. So if God was able to extend an olive branch to her, we too need to show mercy and grace to those who might offend us. For 28 years, the wall in Berlin separated people. Friends and families were affected by this. I'm going to close with this statement, and we'll stand for a word of prayer. Do not allow walls to separate the family of God. I need every single one of you. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I built walls, but through God, it's time to break them.